What's up, Team Diadem? This is your sponsorship manager, Kevin McLaughlin, coming at you from the Diadem HQ Courtside Sessions podcast studio here in Pompano Beach, Florida. I'm very excited to be joined with a former top 20 junior player, current Division I college player, and somebody that I've grown to know over the last few weeks that recently made the switch to Diadem. She is a great tennis player, but an even better person. And I think she's very articulate, so she's going to be able to tell her story, and it should translate well for all the junior players, parents, and coaches that are listening out there. So, without further ado, Keita Ferrari, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm super happy to be here. I cannot wait to share my experience through juniors, the recruiting process, my college experience. Since my college experience has been a little bit unconventional, I had an injury freshman year, so I feel like I can add a lot of insight, especially since I've been through a lot of things that some other people may not have been through in my process.
Yeah, definitely. Let's start with how'd you get into playing tennis in the first place?
So I actually started playing tennis when I was three. My dad and mom didn't play tennis. We are definitely not a tennis family. My dad played lacrosse and my mom did a little bit here and there. She actually was a triathlete. So I come from a very athletic family, but I never was introduced to a tennis background like immediately right off the bat. I'm the first person in my family to play tennis. So I kind of tried a little bit of everything. Like I tried some gymnastics, tried some ballet, you know, just to have a little bit of fun with it. But tennis is definitely where it stuck because it's very individual and it's very competitive. And I am very competitive when it comes to tennis. So I really felt like that was a good stick and I pretty much stuck with it by the time I was seven.
That's awesome. So when you're 7 years old, you really embraced the game and kind of locked in and that was the path that you wanted to take?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I knew that I wanted to be a D1 player. I knew I wanted to accomplish certain things like being an academic All-American. I'm already halfway to that. I got the academic half. I just need to work on the All-American half. But yeah, I knew exactly where I wanted to be and where I wanted to go. And it's definitely made me like a very individual person, especially now, and super confident as well.
I love that. So how has your game kind of progressed from the time you're seven, when you really dedicate your life to tennis, to coming up into those developmental stages around 12s and juniors? What'd you do in that time?
So I actually started out in a lot of state tournaments. I never played nationals until I was actually 15. I started pretty late in the national scene compared to a lot of other players that may want to go pro and stuff like that. But me and my dad's kind of idea behind it was that I wanted to peak in every category, every age bracket, to gain confidence in myself and also kind of just conquer, have a couple wins, you know, in the age brackets and divisions. So actually when I was 12, it was like one of my biggest achievements. Literally when I was 12, I won singles, doubles, and mixed doubles at an Alabama, like a low level Alabama tournament in the 12s. But I was so happy. And like, I think that kind of progression that we had, we never moved myself up early. Like when I moved to 14s, I was 13 and a half. I never played 14s when I was 12, maybe for like really low level tournaments, like Alabama tournaments. For Southern tournaments, I would stay in my age bracket. And I feel like that's why I had so much success, because I was able to gain that confidence in every division instead of getting beat down by these older girls who naturally are stronger and a lot bigger than me when I was 11 and 12. So I feel like that in itself really helped me progress as a young athlete, since I mean, it's pretty hard to play a competitive sport when you're young like that. I mean, it's very hard to get into it, especially when, you know, you're still developing as like a person as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a really interesting strategy to help a younger player develop mm-hmm. their confidence, which is something that you talked briefly about there. But I'd love to hear a little bit more about where your confidence levels were when you were a young junior player. Were you entering every match, you know, thinking I'm going to blow these people away? Or were you a little bit on the side of, you know, not necessarily as confident in your skill set? Talk a little bit about that.
So I pretty much found my skill set at a very young age. Like I knew that I was never going to be the most powerful person. I knew that I was never going to be the most strong person on the court. I knew that I was never going to be the biggest person on the court. I knew that all of these things, like I was never going to have a bigger serve than my opponent if I was playing someone taller, just like all these things. And so at a very young age, I realized that I have a grinder personality on the court. I will run down every ball. I'm willing to die for every ball. Like, that is just who I am as a person. And I feel like I really found that through my coach when I was 12, 13. He allowed me, which I'm really grateful for, he allowed me to progress in my own way. He never forced a game style on me. He never was like, you need to do this, you need to do this to get better. Like, you have to do this to make it in like big places. He kind of just let me be who I wanted to be. And I feel like that really made me gain some confidence because I was in control of what I wanted to be in control of. And especially since my dad didn't come from a tennis background, he always let me have control as well. Like, he would obviously look at the attitude side. Like, if I had a bad attitude, I mean, I was done. But for the tennis aspect, I always was in control. And I feel like that's really where I found myself. And I mean, I still play that grinder game to this day. I'm just trying to transition a little bit since I'm obviously more mature and bigger now into a more aggressive mindset.
Yeah, totally. And I think from hearing your story in the past, one thing that really stuck out to me was your approach to training and everything like that, I think is a lot different than some of the other players that you see out there on the junior levels. And you had to take that approach because of kind of where you lived and everything like that. So I think it would be great for the young players out there who are in similar situations to hear a little bit about what that's like playing juniors in Alabama and coming up that way.
Yeah, I mean, I come from literally the second worst tennis state in the U.S. and not even from a big city like Birmingham or Huntsville has a pretty big tennis demographic, actually, especially now. It's grown tremendously since I started playing. I am from Fairhope, Alabama. It is 45 minutes from Mobile, right across the bay. There maybe were like two other people that went to college for tennis besides me. So I definitely had to get creative with my dad and kind of plan, since he's definitely the more strategic one and helped me really build a game plan. But there's going to be a lot of threes here. But every week I would play 6 days a week. I would do three lessons per week, three practice sets, 3 days of strength and conditioning, and 3 days of yoga. And obviously you need lessons to progress in anything and like kind of build on what you have. But what really me and my dad really wanted to accomplish was that we did not only those three practice matches per week, but we made it three sets no matter what. So if I lost the first two sets, I would have to play another set. And since I didn't go to an academy, we had no access to academies. I had two coaches in Fairhope that I had to choose from, and I ended up going to both of them. So there weren't a lot of options here. But we thankfully had the University of West Florida, which is in Pensacola, which is another 45-minute drive east. So I was driving there every day to practice and play practice sets and matches with them, and I'm super grateful for them since they are D2. According to NCAA rules, you're allowed to hit with D2 and D3 schools and matches and stuff like that. Like D1 you can't really touch. Since they were D2, I was able to play practice matches with them. But I mean, I literally went from losing three sets straight to these girls, and I was playing the number one girl in division two in the country. And I mean, I was getting killed by her. And then finally, like a couple weeks later, as I was getting into it, I finally, you know, started to get my game, started to like understand like how it felt to play against like these more mature and bigger players. And I ended up starting to beat her every week, and it was a really good feeling.
And how old are you when you're playing these top college players?
I was 14 to actually when I went to college, so 14 to 18. I was literally out there grinding with them, and I eventually evolved to going and playing with the guys team as well. And I just had a great relationship with them. Like, I'm so grateful to have found college athletes that were willing to hit with me since I was so young. I feel like a lot of college athletes will hit, like, especially if D2 and D3. I mean, I've met so many cool people when it comes to tennis, and like everybody is just so nice. So there definitely are options if you're in a smaller town but happen to have like a D2 or D3 school in the area, since that's not against NCAA rules. And then in addition to that, I did strength and conditioning with my dad. He was my strength and conditioning coach for all years of my junior years. Three times a week, just like really strict tennis movements. We Googled and YouTubed a bunch of movements like that. Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, Azarenka, Wozniacki, all these people and top athletes were doing, and we implemented it into our own strength and conditioning, which was a super big factor. And we literally just did that in our backyard. We went and bought a couple medicine balls, went and bought a yoga ball, and we were doing that in our backyard. Like, it was nothing fancy here at all. And then I just attended yoga 3 times a week to keep my mind fresh, my body fresh, get a little bit of flexibility in there, since it was so much like tennis, hard mentality, like really going for it and strength and conditioning and stuff like that. So I just found like tiny little yoga studio, like literally 5 people per session. Like, we were talking very small town, very small people, but I would do yoga there 3 times a week. And I feel like that's really contributed to my success. Like, obviously, like, we're not all given like the opportunity to go to IMG or these big academies that, you know, some people can afford. But from my perspective, I mean, I come from a really small town in the worst tennis state. Like, if I can do it, you can definitely do it. And the fact that I'm here, I'm so grateful to be here and be playing D1 and, you know, having this opportunity with Diadem. And it's all self-made with me and my dad. And I feel like anybody can do it, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's really cool to hear about how, coming from a small town that doesn't have a huge tennis background, you were able to dig into your bag, get all the resources you could possibly use, mm-hmm. and stack them in your favor so that you could become the player that you are today.
I mean, I had to. There was no other choice. Either that, it was either that or moving. And I mean, moving wasn't, I didn't have a say in moving or not. But yeah, I mean, I'm super grateful for everybody that helped me along the way. I mean, it couldn't have been done without them, especially my dad, even though he was sometimes a little bit hard on me. Mm. I will say, obviously, we all have that relationship with our parents sometimes. But I mean, I'm grateful to have him for sure.
And then another thing that is really interesting, I think you touched on your physicals, like strength and conditioning with your dad, where you're pulling some stuff from YouTube. You touch a little bit on working with a couple different coaches. Mm-hmm. And then you also mentioned doing yoga and the role that that's played in a little bit in your mental game.
Yes.
I'd love to hear some more about your yoga practice and how that's impacted your play on the courts.
Yeah, I mean, at first, yoga is really hard. It's deceivingly hard. Like, you don't think it's going to be that hard, and then you, like, get into a pose, and you're like, oh, my God, what do I do? But, yoga, in yoga, you have to calm the body and the mind, or you're going to really struggle in some of the poses that you're doing. And it took me a couple sessions to kind of figure that out and kind of be like, oh, like, I really have to, like, force myself to relax, or I'm not going to enjoy it, and I'm not going to have fun with it, and I'm not going to, you know, digress and relax like I should be off the court in that downtime. And it played such a different role. I've never experienced it before. Like, obviously, playing tennis is one thing. It's great to be on the tennis court when you're a tennis player, and strength and conditioning can only do so much. But the mind, it's all about the mind in tennis. Like, I have won some matches just based off of my mental game. Like, I could have been dying of heat stroke. I could have been throwing up. Like, it's just crazy. I mean, I have won so many matches just based off of my mental state and my mentality, because I took care of myself through yoga, for example. And I took that downtime that I had in between tournaments and training and everything like that. And I really just played it to my own factor. I did things that I loved. I loved yoga eventually after I got through like the hard, tough parts of it. So I went to yoga when I wanted to. They had it every day. And then I would paint in my downtime as, you know, some fun, relaxing things. And I'd also read. Obviously, some tennis books is great to read. I loved The Inner Game of Tennis and Winning Ugly. I've read them like 3 times now. But also just some business books, like the 50 Laws of Power and the 48 Laws of Power. Were super big for me, because it took like a business approach to it, like, and I could put it into tennis, and it was really cool, like, to think about it like that. And it changed my mentality completely and like completely refreshed me, because obviously we all go through times where we're like, do I like tennis? Do I not like tennis? Like, how am I doing? Like, am I gonna win like these matches? Like, there's a lot of pressure on the line. And so taking that downtime and finding mental health stuff to help you relax is super important to the game.
Yeah, 100%. I think that being able to combat the stress and the grind of a tennis season, which is a year-round game for a lot of players, and finding those other outlets that you can express yourself in, like painting and doing yoga and those other things, is huge for junior players. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. I would also love to hear a little bit about what the transition looked like when you started playing more national tournaments and you were going up against better competition. How did that go for you?
It actually went really well. So the whole idea behind just playing my age bracket and not moving up too early was the fact that I needed to peak at the right time, so that I was presenting myself the best I could for these college coaches, because you can start getting recruited during your junior year. And so I saw countless of girls like flame out and burn out before they even reached the 16s and 18s, just because they put so much pressure on themselves to do so well in these national tournaments at a young age. But I thankfully didn't have too much pressure on me. Obviously, I had some pressure, but I didn't have too much pressure on me. So I peaked at the right time. And I really played my best tennis when I moved up to 16s. And I actually played national clays and national hard courts for the first time in 16s before COVID. And I had great runs at clays and hards. I made it to the quarters of both. And at hards, I beat 5 blue chips in a row, including number 12 girl in the nation.
I think that's a great story. So yeah, if we dig into that one a little bit too, while you're touching on this.
I ended up splitting sets 3 out of 5 of those matches against those blue chips. I didn't split sets with the number 12 girl in the nation, but I mean, she had all of these IMG coaches on the sideline. Like, it's intimidating. I mean, I'm out there in San Diego at Hards for the first time ever playing one of these big national tournaments after I just had success at clays. It was a lot as like a small girl from Alabama that's only played Southern tournaments up till now. And so I ended up playing her in the round of 32, I'm pretty sure. And I mean, she had maybe like 10 to 12 IMG coaches and just people on her sideline, just rooting for her, cheering for her every point. And I just had my dad and my dad's friend there. And I was just like, I had to completely tune everything out. And I feel like I can really contribute that to my mental health and my mental training when it comes to that, like being able to just relax and use some yoga relaxation and breathing during those times. Because, I mean, it is intimidating to have that many people cheering against you constantly, every point. Like, they were not scared to cheer against me at all, because obviously they wanted her to win. She wasn't supposed to lose to me. I was a 33 seed. She was the 7th seed in the tournament. Like, they're like 12, 33 seeds. So it was pretty intimidating. But after I realized, like, hey, I can contend with this girl. I mean, I just flipped the switch and I completely went nuts. Like, I played the best tennis of my life. And like, that's what I contribute to peaking at the right time. That's what I mean by that. Like, I didn't have a lot of big wins technically before that. Like, at clays, I did have a lot of success, but I never played those higher girls. Like, I played a couple higher girls, but never that high. I think that was the highest ranked girl I've ever played before that time. And the fact that I was out there and I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like, I just had so much confidence in that point. And I think it's because we just took our time and let me have a moment and let me kind of go at my own pace. And that was my own pace. It just happened to be that time.
Yeah, it's unreal that it all clicked for you on that national stage and you were able to kind of fight off some of these players that had the blue chip status, and you coming from a smaller market, really impressive stuff there.
Yeah.
Do you think that that tournament in particular played any role in the recruiting process for you?
Yes, it's actually funny. So I started talking to Illinois right before Hards had started. They weren't even on my radar. Like, sometimes people in colleges just take you by surprise. Like, I was convinced I was not going to school up north because I didn't like the cold. I didn't want to play indoor tennis. I've been playing outdoor tennis all of my life. And I was just convinced. I was like, no. So, I mean, I obviously took the call because they're top D1 school in the nation, have a great business school. I'm in the business school now. So I took the call and I started talking to them before Hards. So before all that success, they saw me play at clays and then they were like, okay, this girl's got something. And then before Hards, we started talking. And then I made it to the quarter of hard courts, and my coach now was like, well, you just hit everybody's radar. I thought we had you. You just really took off and run. Like, he was so ready to just bag me right then and there. And then I had a great hards experience, and that got me noticed a lot, because there are a lot of coaches at hards. I mean, it is crazy. Like, yeah, there's a lot of like junior coaches, like IMG coaches and stuff there, but the college coaches are everywhere, and they're all wearing their gear. You can see them from a mile away. They're all watching, and then they'll leave at certain points. Like, you feel like if you miss a ball, like, stupidly, and they leave, it's like, oh my, they don't like me anymore. Like, I just messed that up completely. But that's completely not the case. One of the things I've noticed most in recruiting is that coaches look at your attitude more than they do your tennis at the time. They're always going to look at your past videos and matches and streams and stuff like that. They're going to look at your results. They're going to look at your stats. They're going to look at your rankings. And yeah, that's all great. But if you don't have a good attitude on the court and you don't look like you're going to mesh with the team very well, then they're probably going to pass you up compared to a girl that's lower than you but has a better attitude than you. Like, I made it one of my goals, even if I was getting blown off the court 6-0, 6-0 at hards in front of all these coaches, which thankfully never happened, I made it my goal to have a fantastic attitude and be super nice to the refs, to be super nice to my opponent, obviously not take any bull from my opponent if they were cheating me or anything like that, or just being mean. But I had a lot of compliments from college coaches that I was one of the most sweet and well-behaved girls on the court, and they loved that about me. And they wouldn't even mention my tennis sometimes. They'd just be like, you had a great attitude out there. Like, you never gave up. Just literally all about my attitude, not even about my tennis. And that's, like, pretty crazy to me, because you think it'd be all about tennis, but it really isn't. Like, you got to mesh with the team at some point, you know?
100%. And I think that attitude and everything that you talk about is something that was instilled in you pretty early in your life and in your tennis career, right? You want to talk a little mm-hmm. bit about those things that your dad taught you a little bit there?
Yeah. I mean, my dad taught me so much. He always taught me to have a good attitude first. Like, literally, if I came off the court and I had a bad attitude, but I beat like the number one girl in the nation, for example, he would be yelling at me all the way home. Like, it is crazy, because he didn't know that much about tennis at the time. So there's only so much he could say without making me mad, naturally, as a father-daughter relationship. So he tried to really focus on my attitude. And every time I had a bad attitude, even when I was 12, like, I mean, I was just a little 12-year-old out there, he would get on to me and be like, that is not the way we act. And obviously negative energy affects your play. Like, you can be playing great and you say one thing negatively about yourself, like, oh, I can't make this ball, your game style is going to go completely down the tank. Like, I have experienced that so many times, where I will be playing out of my mind and I say one negative thing to myself and I don't play the same ever again in those points. And it's crazy how that happens. You can say one thing and it's just gone. But yeah, being from such a small tennis state too, everyone is so nice. When I was growing up, like, we all, like, we're just kind of playing tennis. Like, everyone was just playing tennis for fun. Everyone wanted to be at the tournament and have fun with each other. And so I grew up, thankfully, in a really nice environment compared to maybe some other people. And I just learned to be nice to everyone, until obviously they don't deserve that treatment. And so I feel like that's really contributed to who I am today. Because, I mean, I still go out in court and I'm like, good shot, like, great ball. Like, I'm talking to the refs, I'm laughing with the refs, like, laughing with my opponent. I actually just did that today. We were just chatting it up after the match. And, I mean, it's just such a different, like, kind of experience. It doesn't ever make sense to be mean to someone. Like, honestly, karma's going to get you. Like, I've seen that so many times. The karma will always come back. And, like, it just doesn't pay to be nasty to people. Even if they're being nasty to me, I'm just kind of like, rub it off, because I naturally play better when I'm more positive and smiling and having a good time, even if they're not having a good time. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I love that. And it sounds like having a positive attitude and the way that you carry yourself on the court impacted your recruiting process mm-hmm. and ultimately getting to play at Illinois. And then you briefly mentioned that you ended up actually talking to Illinois before hards when you had that big run. When did the recruiting process start for you?
It started mostly after hard courts. I had a couple colleges reach out, a couple D2, a couple D3. But not any like big interest names that I really wanted. And obviously I was emailing a lot of schools, like everybody does. You really want to get some emails out there, even if like, you know, the school is not going to be interested in you. Like, I mean, I emailed Texas. I knew I wasn't going to make it to Texas. They are so good. They, I mean, they just won the national championship like 2 years ago. So, I mean, like it is I casted a far net. But yeah, it kind of started after hard courts. I started getting more responses from these big D1 schools. I talked to Arizona, obviously Illinois, Rice in Texas, Dartmouth, Cornell, like a ton of random schools that I'd never even dreamed of going to. But still, I was talking to them because it is fantastic practice to talk to these schools that you know you're not going to be interested in, but still to have that experience for when you know you're going to a school that you really want to go to. It is so important. Like, I took so many calls from D2 and D3 schools, and I was just kind of, I obviously was nervous the first like 5 calls that I had. And that was the point of taking those calls, because I knew that I was going to be nervous on those. And I knew that with experience and practice, the time, and when the time came to talk to a D1 school, I wasn't going to be nervous at all. And I was going to be prepared completely to talk to these schools. And honestly, we did a lot for recruiting, like that maybe a lot of other people wouldn't do. We thought of 15 questions that coaches could ask me, and put them on flashcards, and we would just run, me and my dad would just run through them. Like, what are you, like a question would be like, what are you looking in a school, like looking for in a school? What are you looking for in a team? Like, how do you think your personality will mesh with the team? What would you say your game style is? Like any of those like generic questions that any college coach would ask you. We put them on flashcards, and we completely went through them over and over and over again until I kind of like came up with an answer that was fit with my wishes and my values and my needs, for what I wanted in a school and what I wanted in myself for when I got to college. And so we would just run through them, and I got to a point where I was so comfortable with it that I could just freestyle it. And if they didn't ask a question, but they asked a similar question, I was able to be like, oh yeah, this, this, and this. And I was so comfortable on these calls. And that's also where the practice comes in. So when I started talking to Illinois, I had talked to like 2 D3 schools and 2 D2 schools before I talked to Illinois. So I actually sat down with them in person, which I had not done yet, with a college or coaches in general in the recruiting process. I had only talked to them on the phone. So it was a little nerve-wracking just in that sense, but I was completely chill when it came to any questions they were going to ask. And they are the sweetest people on the earth. Like, a lot of these coaches are so sweet. So, I mean, there's nothing to be worried about. They're not going to judge you at all. I visited 5 schools before I visited Illinois. I took a couple unofficial visits at D3 and D2 schools. I first went to Emory. That was actually my first unofficial visit. It's a D3 school in urban Atlanta, like all urban. And then I went straight to Furman after that. We drove straight to Furman, which is D1, and it's a very small college compared to Emory, and it's very rural. Like, it's a completely different vibe. And then I took an official visit at Dartmouth, just to get an official visit out of the way, because obviously unofficial visits, you can't really do much with the team. Like, unofficial visits, you can go and watch practice and go to dinner with them and stuff like that, go to matches. But unofficial visits are a little bit weird in the terms of you can't do specific stuff with the team and stuff like that. So it was good to get those out of the way. But Dartmouth was a real test before I went to Illinois, because I knew I was very interested in Illinois. So I wanted to be like on point for that. And also in this time, not only was I getting the experience of like talking to people, meeting people, like so many people everywhere, ADs, coaches, teammates, everything like that, I also was understanding what I liked and what I didn't like about colleges. Like, Emory was very, very urban. It's so pretty, but it's almost too urban for me. And then Furman is also very, very pretty, but it's almost too small and too rural for me. And then Dartmouth was also too small for me. Like, I understood like kind of what I liked and what I didn't like, and that's how I knew that Illinois was it. Like, my dad likes to say that lightning would strike when I knew that that was the school for me. And immediately when I stepped on Illinois campus, lightning struck. Like, I had that feeling, like, I love it here. And it's kind of interesting to think about, because like, you get really indecisive in this process. Like, it's like, oh, do I want to say no to this college yet? Do I want to do this yet? Do I want to do that? Do I want to go on a visit here? Like, there's kind of a lot of pressure because you have so many people talking to you, like, of all divisions and all different backgrounds and stuff like that. And it's just like picking and choosing a little bit. And so, and it's kind of hard to say no sometimes, but you just got to. But I understood that Illinois was it immediately. It's a perfect balance between rural and urban for me. The team was great. The coaches were great. Their fight was great. I actually got to watch them play Duke when I went up there, and it was a pretty close match. It was crazy to watch, and the energy was amazing, especially from all the fans. So you kind of just know, like, it's weird to say, and you think like I'm lying, but you just know, like, when you get on the campus, you'll lightning will strike for you.
I love that. And I think it's especially important to hear about the preparation that you did to prepare for all these conversations, mm-hmm. for these visits, and then the practice that you took actually having the conversation, yeah. to actually going on the visits, and then that you were able to ultimately develop a relationship with the Illinois staff. I'd love to hear a little bit more about how towards the end of that process and during it, you were able to develop and strengthen that relationship, mm-hmm. with the Illinois coaching staff.
So I immediately got along with my head coach, Evan, and my assistant coach at the time, Herman. He actually just got a head coach job at Nebraska, shout out. So now we have a new assistant coach, which is also really cool this year. But so when you go on these visits, you are almost with the coach the entire time, if not the entire time. They'll take you to meet the AD and kind of talk about what you're thinking about for a career choice and a major choice, and then you'll hang out with the team. And so through all of these experiences of going on unofficial visits and official visits, I was able to kind of learn different personalities of coaches and teammates, and I was expecting different personalities, obviously, from all these people, and I got to learn and kind of understand what I needed to say, what I wanted to say, and how to get it across since everybody is different. And one of the major things that me and my dad did was actually kind of role play that. Like, if I went on an unofficial visit and I was like, oh, I was really nervous during this time when they asked me this, or I was really nervous in this situation, we'd kind of like play it a little bit. Like, if I was nervous when a coach asked me, like, what do you want to do with your life, for example? Like, do you want to go pro? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And if I would get nervous, I'd ask my dad, like, hey, I got really nervous during this. Can you, like, ask me it and, like, kind of help me give an answer to it? Since, you know, not everybody knows what we're going to do with our life. I mean, I just switched majors again to business entrepreneurship. So you never know. But during those experiences, when I got to Illinois, I understood how to kind of be more personable with my coaches. I kind of understood what I needed to do to stick out and be unique, because obviously all of these players that they're looking at, we're all the same to some sort of level. We all play junior tournaments. We're all like similarly ranked and stuff like that. It's what our background makes difference. It makes us different and stick out from one another. And so what I also did during that time was kind of research what was unique about the school that nobody else would know. Obviously you can say like Illinois is a top 10 school or top division one school in the nation. They have great team. Like, you, anybody could say that because you see the stats. But I personally would go and look up, like, oh, what is Illinois doing for charity? What are they doing for outreach projects? What are they doing for this and that? And that also kind of helped me relate a little bit, because when I brought some of that stuff up to my coach, I saw that they were doing some alopecia treatment trials. I have alopecia. It's an autoimmune hair disease. That really stuck out to me, and I immediately brought that up with my coach, and I was like, hey, this is really unique and cool. Like, I have this. That's really cool. And we immediately hit it off and clicked and kind of became more personal than just strictly business. And I feel like that's what really put me ahead of a lot of other girls that were fighting for my spot, because obviously we already had one girl commit, Kasha, and then there were two spots open, and I was fighting for one of those spots. So it's anything to make you kind of stick out a little bit more than these other girls, because obviously you're going to have the stats, you're going to have the ranking, you're going to have this and that, you can play tennis, but it's like what your personality does that is a really big deal when it comes to these coaches.
Yeah, I think that's great insight. And then I would love to hear a little bit more about the process when you finally decided, all right, Illinois is my school. Mm-hmm. They offered you. How did that go, that conversation and everything, when you decided, all right, I'm going to be an Illini?
So I actually committed on my visit. I was the first person to do that in 6 years, and like the first person to do that on my coach's terms, and which was pretty crazy because I just knew right away they had a great environment, a great team, a great coaching staff. I knew that they wanted to help me and they wanted me to pursue my dream of tennis. And I honestly knew that I wanted to be an Illini when my coach was like, you have so much, you can improve so much, and we're willing to help you do that. Because a lot of times some coaches will put a lot of pressure on you and be like, you need to be at this standard by the time you get here. Not necessarily like my coach said, and he was like, you are at a great standard now, but we can improve on that while you're here. And honestly, I loved that style because that's how I've always been in my junior career. I've always kind of gone at my own pace, gone at my own process. I really made my own process, obviously with the help of my dad, my coaches, and everyone from Alabama. But when my coach said that, I knew I wanted to be an Illini right away. And that was kind of like the lightning striking that I'm talking about. It's like certain values and morals that will line up with you and unique to you that the school has or specific people have at the school that you just know that you want to go there. And that's why I committed on my visit. I like no hesitation sat my coaches down and was like, yep, I'm coming here. Where do I sign?
I love that. What was the transition like getting actually on campus in Champaign and starting at the, did you go right at the beginning of fall? You're going into your freshman year?
Yeah, so I actually took two summer classes before I went into my freshman fall season just to, you know, get a little bit, again, of experience. Everything is about experience and practice. So I took two online classes during the summer. I stayed in a dorm up in Champaign during the summer so that I could just get used to being away from home and train. I was able to train with my coaches during the summer while I was taking those classes and just get used to that transition just a little bit at a time instead of having to take like six courses straight off the bat in the fall. And on top of that, like practice every day and strength and conditioning every day and then tournaments. Like it was just an easier transition for me. If that works out for you guys, when it comes to transitioning to college, I definitely recommend it because it made it so easy for me to transition. I was super comfortable when it came to practice in the fall because, again, I got to be personal with my coaches one-on-one time on the court. And a lot of my teammates are from Chicago, so they'd come down to Chicago while during the summer and train with me and train with my coaches. So I got to know them even more. And then I was taking those classes and getting ahead a little bit in my schedule. So that was an advantage, too. There's just so many advantages to going up early. But definitely take time to yourself and like go visit your family again, because I honestly spent too much time away from home. I was gone for 6 months straight, which obviously I've never done before. So it was a little bit challenging, but my transition to college, my freshman year, school was never the issue. I always loved school. I'm extremely organized and kind of OCD when it comes to school. I have like this long spreadsheet of all my homework assignments, test dates, everything that when it's due, I can check it off.
Yeah, I was going to have you talk about that a little bit later, but yeah. why don't you elaborate a little bit more about that now? Because Keita takes a very unique approach to her academics, and I think it really helps her stay on top of everything on that side of her life so that she can really excel playing tennis and in the other areas that she puts focus towards. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that organizational style that you've implemented as a college tennis player.
Yeah, so that organizational style that Kev's talking about is I made an Excel sheet like literally during the summer of my freshman year, and I've used it on and on to this day. I even used it for my summer class this summer. It is all of my assignment names, including tests, papers, lectures, anything like that, anything that's due. I put it in a spreadsheet, color code it, put the due dates in there, times, so I never miss anything, because a lot of classes and professors will give you the syllabus with the course schedule before you even start the course, so you have all the due dates already. And that way it was all in one place for me, and I knew I was never going to miss anything because I religiously went through the syllabus and course schedule and was obviously doing my homework on those course websites, so I could see like if something else popped up that was due, I could easily just put it in my spreadsheet. It's not like I was missing anything. But with that all in one place, I was super, it felt like a relief was like completely lifted off my shoulders. Like it was so easy to just be like, oh, I have this, this, and this due this week, and I can knock it out on Monday when we have an off day or whenever your off day is. I was like, oh, I can knock all of these out on Monday and have literally no school for the rest of the week because I had it in all one place, and I wasn't having to go to a different website every time because we use three different websites for our courses, which is a lot, and it's all different formats. So just putting in that Excel sheet kept me so organized, and it literally made me feel so free. Like, it's honestly like I didn't even have school. I was just focusing on tennis, which was so nice, especially this past year because I had a lot of more business oriented classes because I was undeclared my freshman year. Don't be scared to go undeclared your freshman year because I did it, and it helped me kind of like understand what I wanted to do because you kind of take like everything. But yeah, last year I had a lot more classes and a lot more due dates and stuff like that, and it helped me so much. I had all my school done on Monday for the rest of the week so I could go into match weekends Friday and Friday and Sunday completely school free. So that was amazing, and that definitely helped my transition a little bit because freshman year is all about learning. Like, I had a very unconventional freshman year. I got a stress fracture in my left foot more than halfway through spring season, so literally the peak of Big Ten season. I had a stress fracture. I couldn't redshirt. I was out literally the whole Big Ten season through the Big Ten tournament and NCAAs. It was kind of sad because, you know, that's my freshman year. Like, I'm losing it all, and I can't even redshirt to get it back. But it helped me learn a little bit, like, about tennis and how the dynamics work in college tennis, because I was forced to sit on the sidelines. I couldn't play tennis. I literally would warm up my teammates in the boot. It was really embarrassing, and I have some amazing pictures of that. But I would literally warm up my teammates in the boot, and then I would just sit there. And honestly, it was kind of cool because I could just observe and like understand, like, oh, this is going on. Like, there's a lot of cheering going on. How are my team's opponents handling that? Or how is my team handling that cheering? Or how is my older teammates handling certain things socially when it comes to the team, or tennis related when it comes to the team? And it was really a unique experience, and it made me realize, like, managing your first impression is everything, because I've seen it happen where you have terrible body language and negative energy I sat on the sideline. I literally observed everything that was going on. I would see on these other teams, there would be negative energy on one court, and it'd trickle down all the way down to the last court, all six courts. And like, it couldn't even just be one thing. But it is so important to have a good attitude, like, no matter what. And that's what I meant by, in juniors, I always wanted to have a good attitude. That's why my dad was so hard on me about it, because that negative energy, any energy, circles around the tennis courts when you're playing with a team like it is water. Like, it literally just flows through the courts, and it is completely there, and it stays there, and it affects everyone. So when I got into my sophomore year, I used that knowledge that I had recently learned, and I was trying to be super positive on court. I didn't want my teammates to know if I was losing 6-0, 5-0. I was smiling. I was cheering for my teammates next to me. I was cheering Go Illini. Like, didn't matter if I was literally playing the worst tennis of my life. I made sure that I had a positive energy on the court.
No, I think it's really cool to hear that despite experiencing an injury in college, which is obviously like a big mental thing, a hurdle that you're going to have to go over, is that you really took advantage of the situation. Mm-hmm. You made the best of it that you possibly could, and you made it into a learning moment for you that, mm-hmm, I think has probably paid dividends so far,
for sure,
as you are able to get back on the court and, yeah, continue to progress in your college career. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I used that summer. I officially broke my foot in the middle of February, and I was out until the end of May. So I used the whole summer before my sophomore year to train and just get better and get back into that rhythm. And it was that summer was kind of all about like getting back into it. Like, I was still trying to get the best that I could, but there was a point where I just had to get back to where I was because I didn't have that much time. I mean, the summer is only like 2.5 months. There's like no time at all. So I got back to where I was, and then sophomore year because I had been playing so much. Beginning of my sophomore year, I really started to gain some confidence, and I started to play pretty well in the fall. I mean, my sophomore year, I had one of the best records on the team. And to go, like, that was a complete 180 from my freshman year. I barely played my freshman year, trained all summer, and then really put in the work during the fall as well with my coaches individually. And I used the ball machine. Now, I hated the ball machine when I was younger, but it is so important to get reps in, especially when you're coming back from an injury, because, I mean, tennis is all about reps. Like, your body learns how to just play tennis. It's all mental at that point. Like, your body physically knows how to play and make the balls. It's just if your mind allows it. So hitting those reps on the ball machine was allowing me to get my mind more into it. Like, it wasn't even about my body. It was more about, like, getting that confidence back. So I ended up having one of the best records on the team sophomore year, this past year. And yeah, that's great and all, but I really took advantage of the situation, and I said this summer I wanted to become the best that I could, and I really wanted to push myself. I played 6 tournaments in 11 weeks. I made it to the finals of 3 of them, won 2 of the Battle of Bocas down here, and I really pushed myself to kind of get out of my comfort zone, because, again, I'm naturally a grinding player. I will run down every ball, I'll slice, I'll counterpunch. Like, that is just me, and it has always been me, and I will always have that side of me. But this summer was really about, like, what could I do to get higher in the lineup? What can I do to change my game style so that I play at a higher intensity and more efficiently to become a better player and move up in the lineup, since I was playing 5 and 6 last year, which is still amazing, but I would love to be at the top of the lineup by the time I graduate, as anybody's goal is. And so I put in the time and effort this summer, and I really said I'm gonna get to the net as soon as much as possible and as soon as I can in these points, because I do love playing at the net. It's always been a strength of mine, and I drill it so much, I should be good at it. So I really pushed myself in these tournaments this summer to rush the net whenever I could and really get my serve game up. And it paid dividends. I won the first 15 matches in a row in my summer, 15 matches straight, and including 2 Battle of Boca wins. So, I mean, it has been a great summer, and I can't wait for a great year.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's really cool to hear how you've been able to evolve in your college career. I think a lot of juniors, you know, their goal is to play in college, mm-hmm. maybe like yourself, to play at the Division I level. And then when you get there, you know, all right, now what is kind of, I feel like, a situation that a lot of players find themselves mm-hmm. in. So it seems like you've kind of narrowed in on some goals now that you're playing in college mm-hmm. and you're taking actionable steps to get to those places. What's kind of like the main focus for you right now? What are you trying to accomplish in this coming year at Illinois?
My biggest goal is definitely to get higher in lineup and actually play some ranked players and potentially get ranked and then make it to NCAAs. I mean, my goal has always been to play Division I tennis, but it has also always been to be an academic All-American. Like, that is what I want to do. That is what I want to be. And I know that I can push myself hard enough to become that. And it just is about taking those steps and that initiative. Like, again, like, I am down here now in South Florida, and I have access to these academies and stuff, but I personally don't go that route. I train with my coach, Danny, who has been with me since the summer after my freshman year, so when I was coming back from my injury. We have been constantly working individually. I play with maybe, like, 3 or 4 of the same players every week. Like, we don't have a big academy. And that is just something that I find myself kind of gravitating towards. And I feel like it really has made me understand what kind of goals that I want to accomplish. Like, that, obviously, academic All-American has always been my goal. But now, reflecting on it, my goal is kind of just to get up there and line up and enhance my game. My game has always been good enough to get to that level and to play Division I tennis, but I never really understood, like, wow, these girls got a lot of weapons and tools in their box, and I do too, but I'm never going to be the most powerful girl on the court, and I need to eventually figure out how to actually win these matches, like, if that's coming to the net or serving and volleying or anything that I can do. I mean, I've been trying to come to the net every point I can, and it's been great, and it's just about kind of taking that mentality and really pushing yourself, because I feel like a lot of people just settle with kind of like making it to college, but you can really do so much more. Like, it is crazy how much more you can actually do when you put your mind to it. You think like you peaked, but you really haven't. And these coaches and your teammates will push you, and it's amazing. I mean, my team has pushed me so hard, and I feel like that's really where my motivation comes from, especially this summer, because obviously I want to do it for myself, but I also want to win for my team, because that's another point on the board. But I will say, though, one of the biggest mistakes that I made my freshman year is that I put way too much pressure on myself. I was thinking that I had to win every match. I had to win this match. I had to do it. But in reality, I didn't have to win every match. I just had to play to the best of my ability and have the best attitude and cheer on my teammates the best that I could. Because in reality, there are 7 points up for grabs on the board. And that one of them comes from doubles, and then 6 of them come from singles. You lose your singles match, there's still 6 points up on the board. And that is crazy. That is a crazy amount of points. Like, your teammates can completely have a great day, and you can have the worst day ever, and you can still win the match. And that is definitely one of the biggest tips that I have for anybody going into college, is that don't put too much pressure on yourself. Enjoy it. Learn your freshman year. I learned so much my freshman year being on the bench. I couldn't imagine what I could have learned when I was playing, if I was playing during the season. But just learn and kind of just like observe a little bit, and don't put too much pressure on yourself to be the best that you can, because these coaches know how hard it is to transition to college after juniors. It's a completely different ball game. You're playing for a team now instead of just yourself. So you're like, you kind of feel like you're losing for the whole team, but in reality, it's not that way. There's 6 more points up for grabs if you lose your match. And I think that's definitely the biggest mistake that I made. And I realized that in my sophomore year, and I completely changed my mentality and just enjoyed it so much more.
Yeah, I love that. And I think something that you touched on a little bit there was the different dynamic that you get when you're playing college tennis versus junior tennis, mm-hmm. especially coming from your background where you were kind of on your own in yeah. your junior training and development, and then now you're in this atmosphere where it's a team. It's a true, mm-hmm. true team. Talk a little bit about how working with a team versus training as an individual has impacted your game, and what maybe some challenges and some things that you get as a benefit from mm-hmm. being in that environment.
So I feel like one of the perks of being on a team is being able to ask for help. And being able to speak up, because obviously when you're in juniors, yeah, you have friends in juniors and you guys are all hanging out at tournaments, but they're not going to be like, oh, by the way, you're moving early when you're playing doubles and like into the court, and it's super easy to go down the line on you. Nobody really is going to say that because they don't feel like they're in a position to say that. But when you're on a team, you get so much help from your teammates. Like, one of my teammates, Megan, she just became an All-American in doubles. I take any advice that I can get from her in doubles regards, because she is such a good doubles player. And that's one of the biggest learning curves also, I feel like, is about college tennis, is because you're so individual before you get to college tennis. You feel like you're fighting like survival of the fittest. Like, you're on your own. You have no help. You need to recruit on your own. You can't tell anybody what colleges are looking at you. Like, you think everybody's out to get you. But then when you get to college, like, you have these people that genuinely want you to get better. Like, not only your coaches, obviously your coaches want you to get better, but your teammates also want you to get better, because it's going to enhance the success of the team as well. So taking that advice from my teammates has been the biggest perk that I've had from switching from junior to college tennis. But I will say one of the negative sides kind of junior tennis to college tennis is that, yeah, you're playing for a team and it's amazing to be on a team and have these people support you. But it also kind of gets a little tricky when it comes to, we call it politics, mm-hmm. but it kind of gets a little tricky because now you're kind of fighting for a spot. Like, when you play at individual tournaments, you're in the draw. You make the draw because you're ranking. You're in the draw no matter what. On the team, you can easily get pushed out by somebody that's playing better than you. And that's why there's always a need to feel like you have to get better and better. And that's where the pressure aspect comes in. That's why I put too much pressure on myself, because I was kind of almost like threatened. I've never felt threatened before because I was always playing on my own. But yeah, it's just a completely different dynamic. And there's a lot of aspects that go into it that you wouldn't think. Like if you're talking to coaches more, if you have a better relationship with the coaches more, if you're playing better in this game style, matchups in the lineup is a huge thing. Like if one of my teammates has a flatter game and I am a counterpuncher, maybe they play better at five than I do at five, and coaches will switch it. It's just kind of hard to get used to, because when you get switched, it almost feels like, oh, do they not believe in me anymore? But that's completely not the case. They want the best success for the team. And at the end of the day, if you got to be switched with somebody else, then you have to be switched with somebody else. And that's only another reason to work harder. And that's why I have worked so much harder this summer, because not because I feel threatened for my spot, but because I want to get better and I want to get to that point where I'm playing one or two on the team by my senior year.
I love that. I think that's great insight. And another thing that I could mention too is just don't take it so personally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Understand that when you're playing with a team, there's things that are bigger than yourself. Yes. You know what I mean? And then I think another thing that you've done recently to elevate your game a little bit is making an equipment change.
Yes.
talk a little bit about that, because I know equipment, rackets that you use, string that you use in juniors and in college is a pretty hot topic. Yeah. You know, people get really attached to that. Talk a little bit about your new sticks maybe, and then what that transition's been like for you.
I made the switch to Diadem after being with Dunlop for 4 years. I had a junior sponsorship with Dunlop during my junior career, and I had played with the same racket for 4-5 years straight, and I'd bought several rackets like after they even worn out. So I mean, I was using this racket forever. And then my coach Danny was like, you really need to try this racket from Diadem. And I was like, oh, I've heard of Diadem before. Like that's kind of cool. I mean, it never hurts to try something new. If you don't like it, you can just go back. Like that has always been my motto, is to try. You never know what is going to help you. If you're going to get more pros than cons out of a specific piece of equipment that you have. So when Danny was like, you should try Diadem rackets, I immediately was kind of like, okay, that's interesting. But in reality, if I like the racket and it really helps my game, then I better switch, because there's no harm in trying, because you can always go back. It's not like anybody's pressuring you or forcing you to actually switch. So I tried out a couple rackets. I tried out the Elevate. I tried out the Nova. And I eventually stuck with the Nova, maybe partially because the color of it is blue and my school's colors are blue and orange. But also, seriously, because I felt like I got a lot more kick on the ball. Like my Dunlop racket, yeah, it was great. It was really stiff, though. And I feel like when I started hitting with the Elevate, I felt like I was getting so much more pop on my forehand, because I have an extreme Western grip, like extreme. So I get a lot of spin naturally on the ball. And when that ball was coming off of the Elevate, I was immediately like, oh my God, I need to switch. Like, this is crazy. Like, Danny was even struggling to hit against me with it. And I was like, immediately, this is where I need to be. So I came in and I was like, I'm ready to make the switch. And that's why I started talking to y'all. And we eventually tested out rackets on the practice court out here with the ball machine, and I tested a bunch of different specs, some weight in the top, some weight in the bottom, some weight in both, some weight in the middle, and I kind of tried out what I liked. They gave me a couple demo rackets, and I really loved a racket with the weight in the bottom of the grip, because I felt like I got a lot more control. Mm-hmm. And with this racket overall, I felt like I had a lot more control over the ball. Like I felt like I could hit it as flat as I could, like as flat as I wanted. I could hit as much spin as I wanted. It was going to go in. And so I eventually chose a racket with the bottom weight in the grip. And I played with it in one of my tournaments, I think 2 days later after I switched, like officially to that weight. I had been hitting with the Elevate for 3 days, and then I came in to get the specs. And I think 2 or 3 days later, I went into a tournament and I made the finals. I lost to a girl who's 700 in the world, like super close, 4-3. I mean, it was immediately, I felt like this was where I needed to be. And the people here are incredible. I mean, I felt like I was at home immediately. And so that's when I knew I needed to make the switch.
I love that. That's what we're all pumped that you're using Diadem now. Mm-hmm. And excited to see what you're able to accomplish on the court this fall.
Yeah.
Using your Elevate racket. What's your mindset like? You're heading out to school on Monday. Where's your head at getting ready for this fall season?
I definitely want to get out there and just grind. I mean, I am a workhorse when it comes to certain things, especially when I know I can put my mind to it and I know I can accomplish it. So when it comes to my tennis now, obviously my freshman year, I may not have been so confident because I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. And then I got my stress fracture. So I lost a lot of confidence in that place. And now I'm finally back to a place where I'm even more confident than I ever was, even at hard courts when I went to the quarterfinals. I mean, I just feel so good in my game. And so now going back to college in the fall is more about just getting the reps in. I mean, playing matches is everything. Even if you're playing like a super low UTR compared to you, it doesn't matter. It's still reps. You're still playing. You're still able to work on things. And that's why in junior tennis, we always played the back draw as well. Like a lot of kids that I knew would pull out when they hit the back draw because like it's not worth it. You're playing girls that are lower than you. Like you're playing like, you know, the losers. But that is not the case at all. Like some of my back draw matches have been my best matches because these girls, like, they don't want to lose again. I mean, they already lost once. They don't want to lose again. And I mean, it's like fighting for your life. So now the fall is just about getting those reps in and really kind of owning my game style, because now I feel like I've really transitioned to more of an aggressor. I'm taking a lot more balls on the rise. I feel like I'm way more in control, especially on my serve with the elevate as well. Digging into that, I get so much more kick on the serve and more pop, especially because I play a lot against guys in my practice. I mean, I've been getting a lot of spin on the ball because I need it or I'm going to get wrecked by these guys. So I feel like bringing that into the fall season and then the spring season is going to be a really big deal for me because I feel like I can own it this year for sure. I'm really, really confident, which has been a while since I felt like this.
I love that. And that's huge. And we're very excited, like I said, to watch you play this fall into the spring and see everything that you're able to accomplish with your team up in Illinois. I guess one last thing before we leave is I would love for you to take a second, give some shout outs to anybody that you want. The pressure's all on. let your people know.
I definitely want to give a shout out to my dad. I mean, he has been my number one supporter since I was 3 years old. He has been everything to me, strength conditioning coach. Not only my strength and conditioning coach, but he's also been a dad first. He never put a lot of pressure on me to be the best that I could because he knew that I could do that on my own. And he always put being a dad first. And that's why our father-daughter relationship is so good. And I owe almost everything to him, if not everything to him. I also want to shout out Eve Walker and Nick Cruz. They were my coaches in Alabama, and they really made me who I am today. And they put me into the hards and clay tournaments, and it had been an amazing ride with them in juniors. I also want to give a shout out to Danny, who actually introduced me to Diadem. I owe him so much. I mean, this has been an amazing journey and an amazing team to work with. And I love nothing more than wearing their clothes, representing them, and using their racket, especially when it comes to the fall season coming up. But yeah, I think that's it.
I love it. And I am especially thankful for you taking your time out of your busy schedule. You played a PTT tournament match this morning. Now you're here in the podcast studio. And I really hope that everybody at home that's listening was able to take a little bit of your story, how resilient you were, that your preparation and really action is kind of what separated you from all of your competition and just outgrinding them over the years. So hopefully everybody at home can take some tidbits from your talk today. And I know for a fact we'll get you back on here this winter and talk about how your fall season went. So
yes, for sure.
Thanks again, Keita.
Yeah, thank you so much.